Well, this morning we are going to look at Luke 15, which is the parable of the lost sheep. So these songs, I hope you can kind of have them going through your brain a little bit as we're looking at this passage. But before we do that, I want to take just a second and I want to give some thank yous. Now, if some of you have not yet been downstairs in the last couple of weeks, I encourage you to go down there because there's been some major work. In the last 18 days, there have been 330 hours of work put into the basement and a little bit upstairs. We're a little bit more than half done, so there's still plenty to do. So we would love your help, especially if you're a painter or you can do some construction things with power tools or you can help move heavy things. But I want to say, we have had five-year-olds who have helped paint. We have had someone who was new last week and came two times this week and gave partial days doing hard work. We have someone who gave up a whole week of work and gave 6 days full-time. We have adults, various adults, who gave portions of their days and did hard work, very faithful. And then yesterday we had a wonderful crew of teens who brought in a lot of energy and a lot of fun and a lot of work. So we thank everyone who's done it, and we encourage you, go down and see. So what is that all about? We're doing that because we want to refocus a little bit. We want to give some better space, some cleaner space, some brighter space to our kids and teens. So our teens and our junior teens will all be downstairs starting in September, and you'll see all these rooms that are being given to them. The teens will have a game room and a large room. The tweeners will have a separate room that'll be separate. And the children will have refreshed rooms. When I say refreshed, some of these rooms haven't had hard repair work in 15, 20, 25 years. I mean, we have dug out gunk and have made it so that it's very presentable. Now, that's not just for us, you guys. That is so when we are bringing the people that we're praying for, when we are bringing our friends, that they are coming in also to something that's really great and clean and inviting. So thank you. Now, if you will turn to Luke 15, the verses will be on the screen as well, but we're going to start and look at this and see what this has to do with what we're doing downstairs and some things that I'll share in a minute. 15:1. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, him being Jesus, of course. Now, as we look through this short little parable, we know that this is talking about Jesus as the shepherd, the great shepherd, and we know that we are the lost sheep. So we have that in mind. But the tax collectors and sinners, tax collectors were the Jewish people, the men, who were taking taxes, and the other Jewish people felt very betrayed by them. They greatly disliked them. They hated them because they took so much money, and the tax collectors were getting rich off of the others. So they were very undesirable people. And sinners, sinners were any people who were not abiding by all the Mosaic laws and then all the other laws that the Pharisees made up. Do you get the idea? It's almost everybody. The only people who weren't tax collectors or sinners were the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law. But here's the interesting thing. They were gathering around to hear Jesus. Why? Because they knew, because of what's already been happening, that Jesus wanted to hear them, that Jesus cared about them, that Jesus was going to minister to them. They were seeking Jesus out. That's a big deal. Then verse 2. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So again, we know the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered and grumbled every time they had opportunity. Any time that something wasn't going their way, they would mutter and grumble. And they were muttering and grumbling against Jesus. Why? Because Jesus welcomed sinners and eats with them. That's a big deal. The Pharisees would be able to say, well, we know that God loves them in kind of a removed way, but they can't get near to God because they don't keep all of the laws. And here's Jesus going against that. Jesus going right up to them and saying, come, come with me, come and eat with me. And the other thing about eating, I think I've mentioned this a couple other times, but in the Old Testament, when it talks about eating, it's not nice and clean and removed like we do nowadays. If you're doing a meal together, you're doing life together. You're doing the preparation of it. You're conversing and spending time. You're sharing your life. It's a big deal. And so Jesus was inviting them into his life, and he was going into their life. And the Pharisees did not like that. When Jesus told them this parable, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Interesting. Jesus' way here, isn't it? He knows they're muttering and grumbling. He doesn't go and reprimand them. He asks a question. And he asks a question having to do with their culture. So in this culture, the agrarian culture, the sheep are very important. It's their livelihood. It shows how wealthy they are. It's also their meat. It's their wool for their clothing. It's also their blood for their sacrifices. So the sheep are very, very important. And he's showing if you had 99, which by the way would make you a very wealthy person, and you lost one, wouldn't you go after that one? Because again, in this culture, sheep are so valued. Any shepherd who is out with his sheep, if he had a lost sheep and didn't try to show that he at least went to look for the sheep, he would be suspect. He would be questioned. People would not want him to be a shepherd of their sheep. They're that important. And he asked this question of them. So again, a little thing for us to learn. We don't necessarily have to go and reprimand somebody, show them wrong. We ask a question. I want you to look at this photo. It's a little faded out here, but you guys are probably familiar with this. I like this. Of course, there's lots of renditions. What does it look like when you have a lost sheep? But this one says something about even the song that we sang. First of all, this shepherd, he's on this cliff. If the sheep is lost, the shepherd has to look and look and look. No matter what the song says, he'll tear down walls, he'll tear down lies, he'll come to us no matter what. And this shepherd did that. He is traversing this very steep cliff no matter what. Now, how did the sheep get there? Sheep get lost just like we do. One little tuft at a time. You know, they eat. They're not looking all around. They're not looking at the big picture. But they eat, and when that little pleasure is gone, they go to the next little pleasure. And the next, and the next, until all of a sudden they're far away from the flock. And that's what happens with us. One little pleasure at a time, we get that lost. And then all of a sudden they find themselves in a precarious situation, just like us too, isn't it? So here he is, the shepherd. He's risking his life. He's holding on up here while he's reaching down here. That's how important that sheep is. That's how important we are. That's how important all people are who don't yet have the Lord, even if they have the Lord. Look at the vulture, just waiting, waiting to devour, knowing that if that sheep doesn't get caught or if it falls, he's got his meal. Culture's that way with us. Culture is like a vulture sometimes, waiting for us to fall, waiting for us to be down, knowing that we are always in a precarious situation. We can't save ourselves. Only the Lord can save us, the shepherd. So keep that in mind. We'll look at the next verse. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. So typically what they do when they get that sheep finally, they tie the legs together and put it over their shoulder and go home. Joyfully. It didn't matter how many days it took. It didn't matter how dangerous it was. It didn't matter how much difficulty of strength and energy it took. He was joyful that he found the sheep. That's how God is with us. Joyful. It doesn't matter how many years. For me, I had relatives praying for me for 20 years before I accepted the Lord. Every day that they journaled. It doesn't matter how long. There's joy when we finally are found and taken by the Lord, by the shepherd. And then interesting, not only is he joyful, but then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." That's us. We're the neighbors. Every time someone comes to the Lord and someone shares in here, we all rejoice. We are grateful for that. It's a big deal. Always. You guys feel that. You know that. You all have these 105 names, I believe, are on this list that we are praying for. These are the lost sheep. And we know full well if one of those accepts the Lord, the rest of us are going to rejoice with the person who had the opportunity to share about Christ, even if we never knew the person. That's the value of community. That's the value of the church. And that I tell you, this is Jesus saying, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So a couple things about this. Jesus knows there's no person alive who doesn't need to repent. Okay? So when he says over the 99 righteous, he's referring to those Pharisees and scribes who think they're so righteous because they keep all the laws. They're very self-righteous. And he's giving a very clear message here. The one person who accepts Jesus, the one person who allows himself to come before the Lord and repent of their sins, they are rejoiced over more than all these 99 who think they have all the answers and yet don't bend their knee before the Lord. That's what he's saying there. That's a huge thing for us to remember as we go forth into the world and are working around so many people who don't yet know the Lord. Now, this parable, of course, is talking about Jesus as a great shepherd. And remember, all the sheep know his voice. And then us being the sheep. But here's the next verse I want you to look at here. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. It's a little bit of an ouch, isn't it? It's a little bit of a, oh no, that's too much. There is no way we can do that. But this verse makes it very clear. We are to be doing what this parable is about. We are to be shepherds. We are to be out there looking for the lost. We don't get to be safe and comfortable and just do what we're doing and say, oh, too bad about that one. At least 99 of them are here. We are to be the shepherd. Now, there's a lot of other things that Jesus did, but this one we're just looking at is being the shepherd. And then that we'll do even greater things than these? How can that be? Because he's going to the Father. And because Jesus is before the Father, he's interceding for us every day and giving us strength. And because he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And because of that, we have the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. So we're without excuse if we are not out after the lost sheep. Absolutely essential. So we have a question we ask ourselves. How am I seeking lost sheep? We each have to ask our own self. And I know that we can look at this cross and we can say, gratefully so, this is one way many people in here are looking for the lost sheep. We have identified because the Lord has laid upon our hearts the names of people we work with, our neighbors, our friends that don't yet know the Lord. And we're praying for them. And we're praying so that, remember, we want to be able to have the opportunity to talk about Jesus. We're not just praying this removed way, Lord, bring them to us. We're the shepherd. We're to be actively getting into their life and having relationship with them. We're to be actively inviting them into our life, having a meal like Jesus did, having a meal with like the shepherd did when he came back and rejoiced. Pastor Steve's been preaching this on and off for the last couple of years, and we really believe that there has been a very significant paradigm shift, and we believe there's a vast number of people in this congregation who are doing this regularly, and we praise the Lord for that. That's what we do individually. There's another way, though, that we can do this, seeking the lost sheep. That's not quite so individual. And in your bulletin, you have a, I hope I have one here, a Grow You insert, right? Thank you. I'll just go with this one. Now, I know a lot of you have wondered, what is Grow You? Well, today we're going to share what that is and show how it is an opportunity for us to intentionally go into the community and build relationships with people who are lost, because we are to be shepherds. So first of all, you see, Grow You is all about building strong families and thriving communities. And when we're talking communities, we're talking about Washtenaw County. And thriving families, we're talking about individual families. So the purpose of Grow You is just that, to go into the schools and to help build strong families and thus have a thriving community. Grow You is a partnership between our church and the Salvation Army. And we collaborate with other churches. So you can see there are four parts to Grow You. Grow You has grown a lot this last year. It's very exciting. So I'm going to try and show in about 10 minutes or 12 minutes what this is and how you can be a part of it. So the four parts of Grow You, the first is nutrition. This is the part you guys probably are most familiar with. It's where we pack red backpacks with food for four people, and we send them home each weekend during the school year. So you can see there, last year we did 180 backpacks every weekend, and we were in 10 schools, which means we had more than 700 people that we fed. That's an amazing thing, you guys. That's God's work. That is something to be celebrated. It is greatly impacting this community. Now, we want it to grow. And the way it's going to grow is if when we step into more actively being a part of it. How can you help with nutrition? You can offer to help pack them, the backpacks, clean the backpacks. I see the Gables. They are so faithful with this. Thank you. Deliver them to a school, pick them up from a school. We're also looking this year to have people who are liaisons between us and the school so that we can form more relationship into the school. So we are really needing a lot more help with that. All of these things I'm going to share with you, you can either put something on your Connect card, I want to help with Grow You, call me this week, talk to me after the service. But we need a lot of help for that. It's very impactful. We would like to increase at least 50 more backpacks this year. Education. We have two primary ways that we are working with education. And again, remember, we're trying to help have strengthened families so we can have a thriving community. So with education, one of the ways is ESL classes. Many of you know we hold those here in this building. We are very fortunate because we have tutors from Eastern Michigan who are master level students getting their degree in teaching English as a second language. And they're our tutors. And then our learners come from wherever they come. Last year we had 85 students, 560 tutor hours. That's a lot, you guys. That's an amazing thing. That is impacting our community. And out in the community, people are starting to know Ypsilanti Free Methodist Church, they want to serve us. They want to help strengthen our families and our community. They know that they can get the free backpacks, that they can come here for ESL classes. And the schools are starting to help. Do you remember a month or so ago when we had all those Walmart bags back there full of food and we said, take them, give them to people? I want to remind you how that happened. A young man who doesn't attend here was at his work stationed in Pennsylvania. They have to every year do a service project, so they decided they were going to collect all this food, give it to Ypsilanti. They didn't know how to distribute it. This young man started calling different nonprofits here in the community saying, who would do this? And three out of four calls said, contact Ipsy Free. They do something about Grow You. They'll know what to do with it. That's an amazing thing. That's God's hand using the church, using our heart to serve the community. The other way we help with education is with reading with kids. I am sorry to say that last spring, a year ago spring of 2017, in Michigan, less than half of students passed a grade level proficiency test in reading. Less than half of our students can read at the grade level. So the state of Michigan made some new laws that the schools have to provide more time that children read out loud and get read to, which is about pretty difficult to do with all the else. Everything else they have to do. So we've added in here reading with kids. We didn't start this until March. We had only six kids because we went to one school. We are asking for volunteers to come in during the school day and go into the school and read. Read a high-interest book that we'll provide or listen to children read. Very simple. But it's highly impacted them. And research will show that research has shown that the more children are read to and have opportunity to read out loud, thank you, I see one of our readers right here, get read to, that increases their understanding of the written word, their ability to read, and increases their vocabulary. Do you see how all of these things together help strengthen our families? And when our families are stronger, it impacts our community, and the community benefits from it. So that's education. In some of these, you go, ESL, I can't do the tutoring. But there are other ways you can help. I need people who help with administrative stuff of how we keep track. We have to keep track of all kinds of numbers and who comes and all of their information and all that kind of stuff. So if you have an administrative kind of background and you're willing to give some of that, I can use you. Reading, that fits for anybody, even if it's your lunch hour, and you could give a half an hour of your lunch hour, a half an hour would be greatly appreciated in the schools. The next area of Grow You is life skills. So you see first is budgeting, financial peace. Last year, Pastor Steve did a financial piece, and now we have two people who will be leading it again this fall. It's not just for us. This will be offered because of the timing of it to the families in the schools in which we're working right now. So you see what starts happening. They have to come into a church to get this. They're going to hear it from a Christian perspective, and hopefully they're going to start having their hearts softened in the process, while simultaneously helping them learn how to manage their budget, which strengthens their family, which impacts our community. I'm trying to help you see every little thing that we're doing has this ripple effect out that will glorify the Lord, because all of these opportunities, always we have opportunity to talk about Jesus, never with beating anybody up, but be able to in normal conversations. The other part of life skills is strengthening families. This past January, we did the first run-through of what will be the bigger program. And we went into the school, into Perry School in particular, and ran 12 classes that I actually ran. The topics were all chosen by the principal, knowing the families and what the needs of the families were. And so we taught those classes, and we had 12, six families who actually participated for and. We served a meal each week. We had 85 meals. The children came with them. Social work students from EMU provided child care. And so you see we're also having greater and greater connection with EMU. Now here's, I want to share one story with Strengthening Family. The second to the last session in May, I went in and a couple came. And it's always just the wife who always came. But her husband came with her. And so I was chatting with him, and what brought you in tonight? And he said, well, here's what our day was. This morning, my mother had a heart attack, and so we took her over to St. Joe's. And while we were there at St. Joe's, so he didn't go into work, his dad had a massive stroke, and they had to ambulance him over to U of M. So wife stayed with mom, husband went over to U of M with his dad. And they were in this family crisis. They called other brothers and sisters who came. I said, that all happened today? Yeah, they're still in the hospital. Why are you guys here? And here's what the husband said. Because this has so changed our family life. I wanted to come and meet the group. Lisa comes home every week with her notes, and we go over it, and it has changed how we're parenting, and it's changed our focus of what we're doing. I sat there, I said, I can hardly believe you guys came. Oh, I wouldn't miss it, he said. We absolutely had to be here. That's the impact. In those family life classes, I don't go in there with the intent of teaching Jesus, but of those 12 classes, at least 10 of them, I had opportunity to talk about Jesus, because God always opens a door. All we have to do is walk through it. So how can you help with that? Lots of ways. Because this year we're expanding that so that the parents who come earn credits. And with those credits, they'll get special privileges. And so we're trying to connect the two together. Again, why? Because the school is realizing that so much has been given out free to the parents and the families that there's no sense of responsibility on many of the parents' shoulders to say, I need to connect with the school. So we're using this process to try and help the teachers and the parents connect, and the parents come in. So again, if you're an administrator, I have lots of administrative needs in this area. If you have any child development or parenting classes or know someone who does, I would love to plug you into one of the classes. If you are willing to do some computer work for us of getting this all up, I really could use your help. There's a lot of others. I have them all stepped out, but talk to me afterwards. And then the fourth area is job assistance. We are not yet implementing this piece because we are in the process of looking for someone who can help coordinate this. So the concept around here is we've looked at feeding people, helping with education so they get educated, helping them with life skills, and now the next step would be helping them with job skills. So when you speak to the administrators of the school, again, one of the biggest problems that they know of is many of the people are not able to hold jobs. Many of them don't connect to the school because they don't have transportation, they're embarrassed, they just can't hold a job. So the program we're looking at is a Christian-based program, and it's a 10-week class where people would come in and learn basic soft job skills, how to make eye contact, how to have an interview, all those kinds of things. But we're at a point of looking for a coordinator, a part-time coordinator to help get that going. It would be connected with businesses in town. It's very much a big need. So two final things on this. In Washtenaw County, there are many excellent, really top-notch agencies that are working with children and youth. They've got so many bases covered. But we're the only agency. Our distinctive is this. Not just that we're Christ-based. That's a huge distinctive. But we're the only agency working towards helping the family structure. We're not just doing services for children and teens. Those are needed. They're very well covered. But we're trying to help the family structure. So when we are in various meetings throughout the community, they know that's our distinctive. That's how we help most, is getting into there, the families. Another way you can help, by the way, is if you've written grants, there are several grants that have come across my desk that I would love us to write for, because I think there's money out there for it. How does this grow in the community? It grows through other churches adopting this template and implementing this in another school. So this summer I have met with 5 different churches, various churches. All 5 have indicated interest that they would like their church to implement parts of this fall. So they are working with their leadership right now, and they'll look and say, are we implementing 1 part of it, 2 or 3 parts of it? I also have been talking to people in the community saying, we're looking for a part-time coordinator. If you know anybody, have them contact me. This past year, First Baptist Church partnered with us. That was the only other church. Can you imagine how much bigger it can be now if 5 other churches start this fall or this winter implementing this Grow You template in a school? They will choose a school close to them. They'll meet with the administrators, and they'll choose what parts. Back again to lost sheep. We don't do this just to make more work for us or to make us feel good because we're helping the community. We do this because Jesus has made it very clear that we are to go and serve and help the least and the lost. We are to be a witness. We are to make disciples. We are to reach out in intentionality and find those who don't yet know the Lord. And this is just a template to help us do that. Because let's be honest, it's kind of an overwhelming, sometimes frightening thing to think, I have to make an impact in my community. But if we can narrow it down and say, this one little sphere that I can help with, and all of us have our one little sphere, you can see how that is just going to spread over and over again. So as we close here on Grow You, if you have any interest, again, write it on the back of your Connect card, Grow You, or contact me this week, email me, see me after church. If you or someone you know who would love to be a part of this, we would love to have you be a part of this and impact our community. And also, downstairs, if you are able to help out in any way, again, contact me this week. All of it, think of downstairs what we're doing. If we are reaching the lost, putting them on our shoulder and bringing them home, we want to bring them home. Home, of course, is heaven and God's kingdom. But we're going to talk about the church for a second. We want to bring them home to something that's welcoming, that's fresh, that's exciting. And we have a responsibility that way also to keep our environment up.